I kind of came into it more from a UI first concept and UI UX concept. And then I had to get that to the right developers to then say, okay, this is what I kind of want it to do. Translate that into code.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Cloud Talk. I'm the host around these parts, and I'm delighted to bring you, really, the first episode of the year. Sorry to say that it's March already. In fact, we recorded this episode towards the end of last year. And it's a conversation that I had with a gentleman named Matt Camaglia. Now, Matt built an amazing video production company, but all the while applying technology to the craft of video storytelling, and had some incredible ideas. So after he sold that company, he pulled together some advisors, investors, and great technologists to build a service to help companies in this space do it with the latest and greatest in technology. Now, before I give too much of the story away, well, I want to let Matt tell that story all on his own. So folks, welcome back to Cloud Talk, and I'm so glad that you're here and a part of this story.
The line between application and infrastructure is virtually invisible in these modern apps.
The kind of thing that a global computing fabric with immense resilience and scale can deliver without even breaking a sweat.
That's really what the promise of the cloud's always been.
It's all focused on the business objectives. That's where we craft the plan.
In the tech world, we like to celebrate the lone genius, but I'm just going to tell you right now, they're just the convenient face as founders to focus on.
Welcome to Cloud Talk. Here's your host, Jeff DeVerter.
But let me tell you a little story, Matt. My career started actually in music. It wasn't in technology at all. And I owned a recording studio in Houston, Texas. I had started working in there as an engineer, and then eventually my wife and I bought it. And I'd grown up aware of technology. My father was a lifer with IBM. And so I had made a conscious decision at one point, hey, I'm not going down a technology road. I'm going to go into music and music production. And so I spent a ton of time. I mean, we had, this is the analog days. And so it's the big rooms. Think about any of the liner notes. People can remember looking at liner notes or images of people in a studio, massive recording console, big performance rooms with lots of what are called isolation rooms. There was multiple studios in this facility so that we could have multiple artists in there doing their thing at a time. And to do anything, any kind of recording, even if it was just a voiceover like what we're doing now, I mean, it is expensive to do that kind of stuff. And I took a screenshot, a selfie in May of this year. I was coming back from an event in Vegas. And of course, I've got this little podcast that I do. And I had to edit an episode. And Apple had just released Logic for the iPad. And well, I had a nice fancy iPad Pro. And so here I was, 37,000 feet on a Southwest flight from the exit row, editing a podcast with all of the tools and more of what I would have had in those old days. And I just could not get over the juxtaposition of having to have all the big stuff to now being able to work in a smaller environment. That was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the advances in technology and equally, you know, what Apple's done with the iPad and the support for being able to have these pro tools accessible really where you are, wherever you are, it's quite miraculous, especially for me. I mean, kind of going back to my story, I think that we all sort of have these similar stories to some degree if you started out at a certain point in your life. And, you know, I graduated when I was 20 and I built a production company because that was what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to work in production. I knew I wanted to I knew what my worth was, let's just say. And through that, I also had this concept of blending storytelling with technology. And it was really critical for me to be able to use the latest, greatest, whatever technology tool or computer or encoding method at that point, and really built up a good brand name for ourselves because of that. And through that process, I also got sort of scouted personally by NBC Network. And at this time period, this was 2002, 2003, they were converting from analog to digital. So very similar kind of what you were talking about with those giant tape reels that you probably used to record on versus, you know, now a memory stick. So
yeah, this massive 2-inch tapes, we had, because we could move a session from one studio to the other, but it was sneaker net. It was pick those things up and carry them. And God forbid those, when we would you know, produce a session where we need to go to Nashville or LA to go capture musicians, you're traveling with 50 pounds of tape.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And, you know, similar for me on these NBC days, very early on, in order to transfer video anywhere, it was a satellite. So I have really cool pictures back in the day of me sitting next to flyaway kits, where an engineer would travel wherever I was, and they would set up a satellite so that I could beam my video up to New York, and, you know, 30 Rock could take it down. And this is also during that time period where I was able to start editing on a laptop. And it was so incredible in, you know, early days Final Cut Pro, or even Avid to that degree. At that point, it was Avid Express that they allowed you to do this on a laptop. And so, you know, I was witness to all of these different tool sets that we were cobbling it together, right? We were trying to make it work. But now, kind of your example of being able to edit Logic with all of your plugins on an iPad, it's so accessible. And that democratization of the production industry, or the creative industry as a whole, has been really incredible. And I'm so fortunate to have been witness to a lot of these advances in technology over the last two decades.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I took it one step farther, Matt. I actually, you know, when you export those files, mix down is what we used to say, it creates a WAV file. But to publish that podcast, it needed to be MP3. So I convert to MP3, which makes it much smaller. I actually published it as well. So it went out in its final form. Now, it didn't go up fast, but I was on a 2.5-hour flight that I didn't have anywhere to go. So I just waited for it to do its thing. So I actually did the final mix down of it, all the editing, and published it to the internet from the airplane. But that was a pretty simple use case. I mean, that was just, you know, I had two audio tracks. I had my guest, I had myself, there's a couple more. I had some music and a few other little things. But I'd recorded all those assets, and that was my editing process to put it all together. But that gets a lot more complex in, of course, if I was going to go into multi-track, make it a record with a bunch of musicians, but video gets even more challenging. I mean, the way to pull, you know, let's go back to the old days. I mean, you would have your favorite camera operator and his gear and drag him along, and he would hand you physical tapes at the end and off you go. But in these new days, you know, you've got video coming from everywhere. And that kind of gets us to the birth of your story here, why we're here to talk today.
Yeah, I mean, I think that pulling from two decades of experience and also not knowing what wasn't working, mm-hmm. and being crazy enough to say, hey, there's got to be a better solution. There's got to be a better way. And to your point, video compared to any other real data source out there is much more higher in fidelity and also just size, right?
Yeah, the physics of the file, they're massive by comparison.
Yeah, and so building Altion really to its core was not a concept that came together overnight. Mm-hmm. It was a concept that probably came over the last 2 or 3 decades of my life of why couldn't there be something better?
Right, and, of painful moments of why can't this be better, or you've cobbled something together and it's really just not behaving the way.
Or quite frankly, you know, when I was doing a lot of the research and I was consulting for some businesses after I exited my previous company, which ended up being a full service agency, but having this sort of time period to consult and work with other companies and talk about innovation, it really came to be that only large studios or enterprise had access to tools that were, you know, in massive racks of servers that they were putting together locally on-prem in their offices, or, you know, they had access to engineers that could build on an AWS or an Azure or something like that. And you're starting to see this time period 5 years ago where companies are starting to look more into the cloud and how do I really scale my business up more. But when you look at the everyday creator, so this is anyone from a TikTok artist all the way up to, again, a major enterprise, there wasn't a tool that was accessible to people at right. at a fraction of the cost, or even just the complexity of setting it up. And when we built Altion, that was really what we said to begin with, was there's got to be a way that we could just make this really simple and easy for people to get into our platform and just, quite frankly, understand exactly what they're doing in it the day that they're on it.
Yeah. And you bring up, you started with, you know, a fraction of the cost, but then you talked about the complexity and dealing with it. And that's really the big cost. You know, if we were to talk about where the real pain points are.
I remember looking at one of the major cloud providers' websites on how to calculate, and it was two pages, and I glazed over, and I'm just like, I'm a fairly smart guy. I'm not a technical founder, but I can kind of understand things. And when I was looking at this page, I was like, how could any other creative mm-hmm. even start with that point?
Right, right. And so the fact that you did solve it from a cost perspective, but then also you took the complexity out, which is huge. So we're skirting around. You've mentioned the name Altion a few times. Give us the pitch. What is it that Altion does?
Yeah, to its core, you know, we've taken a lot of the single purpose apps that exist out there, and we've blended them all into one ecosystem. So right. if you're a content creator, typically you're using several different apps or programs to produce your work. And again, as a former content creator or an editor, I knew that there was just so much friction there, or contextual switching, right? I was going from one application to another, to another, to another. And all of these applications were meant to make my life simpler, but they ended up becoming very costly because I was now having to manage multiple subscriptions, or quite frankly, it was, hey, one system has been updated and it's not compatible with the next system, and you have to wait until the next system is updated. So it just became really complex. And again, as great as technology is, sometimes it's also a hindrance in terms of just the creative process. So when we set out to build Altion, we really wanted to have a single point for multiple different touch points that you might have in the creative process. So at its core, it's cloud storage, content management, and the ability to be able to collaborate with other people remotely. And similar to your example, you know, before, it's like you might be working with different artists all over the country, and you need a single point to bring that content in. Altion now is that resource to do that. And we've created a lot of simple tools to be able to ingest, because I think that that's the biggest friction point for a lot of people is, how do I get my file from point A to point B? And a lot of times I kind of often joke, our biggest competitor is a lot of the shipping companies, because when you really get down to it, it's like, you know what, I'm going to ship a hard drive to you as opposed to just sending it online. Now, my sort of challenge to that to people now with Altion is, hey, even if it takes you 24 hours to upload, or even 48 hours to upload your entire shoot from today, it's still getting to your entire team quicker.
Yeah.
And you can almost guarantee it from the perspective of, look how many shipments get lost on a given day, or are delayed an extra 12 hours and you missed your deadline. So
right.
now
a snowstorm in Cleveland and all of a sudden your production's held up.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, you know, you had mentioned sort of you're using Logic on an iPad. We brought apps to various devices. So whether you're on your iPhone or your iPad, or let's say you are on your laptop out in the field, but you need to get your content to your editor in New York or somewhere else out in the world, you can easily do that with our various apps. And then mm-hmm. and then because we have integrations with the nonlinear edit systems like Premiere or Final Cut Pro, these also give people this creative flexibility of, once those files hit the cloud, it's immediately accessible inside the edit suite. So again, reducing that friction of, where is my content? How do I find it? Where do I go to get it? And the way that we've built these applications is native to the UI and the UX of that application. So with Final Cut Pro, for instance, we really pulled from a lot of Apple's UI kit. With Adobe Premiere Pro, we pulled from Adobe's UI kit, because we wanted the editor to feel comfortable and feel like they were in their native habitat, as opposed to something else that was very foreign to them.
See, that's huge. You know, there, if we think about the progression of what we talked about here, it's from going from the physical media to then these digital assets that people like yourselves cobbled together to create a solution that was ultimately broken from a cost and a complexity and a lack of integration. And it sounds like, you know, you've figured out a way not only to solve that, but then to also do that in the context and in the GUI look and feel of the tool that the person's trying to use. And for those that aren't native production type people and they're thinking, look, folks, I can get a Word document in an email and I can save it and I can edit it. What's the big deal of downloading a file from your production team from Dropbox? I can already put this together in my head. Why do I need to go buy Altium? But the reality is as we talked about this the other day, there's a lot more complexity to it and time that then starts to show up. And that creates issues in the long run. So let's boil it down. Let's get super simple for just a second. You walk out with a great camera. You run out with a Canon of some sort and you get some great content. And here it is on a drive. Even just in a normal context, you have to bring it into the computer because you've got to, and then once it's on the computer, you got to put it in the right location. You got to get naming context has got to be correct. You've got to catalog that information. You've got to scrub through that information, and then ultimately put it together. And challenging, but it gets exponentially harder when you add people to that.
How about even better? You're shooting on a RAW camera format, like a Blackmagic RAW, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just an incredible quality of video, but the file sizes are absolutely massive. Yeah. And I know my producer has an older laptop, and I know my producer doesn't have the ability to even view these RAW files. Yeah. So now me as an editor, I have to now transcode all of that footage on my desktop system or on my workspace, which now takes me down for potentially a day.
Yeah.
With Altium, we've solved for that. So we transcode files in the cloud, which means that we're taking various RAW formats or professional formats that people are using every day in the video industry, and we're compressing them in such a way that it's a very lightweight proxy it's an H.265 MP4. That means now that my producer, when they're watching it on the web, when they click play, it just immediately plays, even if they don't have the fastest of internet speeds.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really incredible about that, and this is something that we launched a couple of weeks ago, is the ability of going and taking those proxy files and editing it on my iPad. And now I'm not taking up, you know, terabytes and terabytes of space on my iPad. I might be taking up, you know, gigabytes of space on my iPad. So very fractional in terms of how much storage we're really utilizing there. But then to take that file, whatever your edited project is, and push that to your desktop. Mm-hmm. That's really powerful because now you have your original media on your desktop. You're able to relink those files to the original raw clips that you might have.
Full fidelity,
exactly. And now we help facilitate that whole process. And again, simplifying it all the way from the ingest point to being able to generate these proxies to then go and pushing that file to your desktop, everything synced up. And now you've done what could have normally taken, you know, hours and hours of time and condensed it down into potentially minutes.
Amazing. Hey, let's take a side journey real quick because you're clearly somebody who understands the production world. I mean, you built and ran your own production company. You've done things at the highest level of production. I mean, working with NBC is pretty incredible. But this is not generally the type of person I talk to who is an IT founder. Let's talk about that process a little bit. You had this idea. It could be better. You were freed up from the production company. How does a creative become a technology founder?
Look, I think that, again, I sort of mentioned it earlier, but starting my first company, and also I've always been interested in technology. I've always been interested in computers. So growing up, I grew up in Boca Raton, Florida, which is where IBM invented the PC. Mm-hmm. So there was a rich culture always around me of computers and technology and how to really, again, blend this idea of storytelling with technology. And when I sort of really got into the nuts and bolts of how to run my old company, one of the strategic advantages that we had over a lot of other companies is our technology. Mm-hmm. And I was always investing. I was always sort of looking for that next tool that would help us continue to keep that edge. And at a certain point, I saw more and more people having access to these tools. And we weren't sort of competitive on that side anymore, but we were really great at storytelling. We were really great at the production that we were producing. But I think going into the genesis of sort of Altion and how I created Altion, look, I think it was definitely over a year's period of time and having incredible advisors that understand the technology space really well. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was, hey, let me scope out a bunch of different problems and how I envision solving those problems. And I kind of came into it more from a UI first concept and UI UX concept. And then I had to get that to the right developers to then say, okay, this is what I kind of want it to do, translate that into code. And I have just an absolute incredible team that was able to do that. And we've built this over the last, 3.5 years. And it's just such an incredible product, especially now we're really starting to push it to its limits. We're starting to get into like spatial video, for instance. You know, we're kind of getting into these different aspects of making it so that we're well ahead of the curve on what's coming. Mm-hmm. I think for me also, it's just constantly learning, constantly talking to other people in the industry. And I think this applies for any industry, right? I think this applies for any business that people could be running. It's always so important to learn constantly, but also have a real strong drive. You know, never just be comfortable where you're sitting and always kind of seeing what's next and always pushing yourself.
Well, for those who follow this type of stock content from me, whether it's here in the podcast or on LinkedIn, you know that one of my big phrases these days is, in the old days, technology was a component and sometimes part of the solution, and whether that's solving a problem or capturing an opportunity. But now technology is a part of every opportunity. It's whether solving a problem or capturing the future, technology is there, if not the primary driver. So those native skills and that you honed early on obviously are coming into play here. So how does somebody sign up? Is it literally go to the app store? Do they go to Altion?
Yeah, the first thing would be go to altion.io, and it's very easy to sign up. It might take you a minute, and the hardest part about that is just coming up with a strong enough password that passes our test, and then you have a two-factor authentication. So this is something that we put in from the very beginning, because we are dealing with very sensitive files. We are dealing with potentially a product video for a company, and everything is very much so encrypted and secure within our servers. And we're fortunate enough to be partnered with IBM Cloud Object Storage for that. And so when we really thought about this from the beginning, security was a core component to how we're putting this together. But yeah, I mean, people could go very easily go to altion.io, sign up there, get an account. I think free accounts, you get up to 10 gigs of storage space, and that allows you to kind of kick the tires just enough. And then from there, there's 14-day trials. And after that, it's $12 a month. So for 250 gigs of space, it's $12 a month. And then after that, it would be $25 a month per terabyte. And then we also introduced earlier this year the concept of archive storage. And that's $6 a month per terabyte. So now the way that we structured our archive, though, is very different from your, incredible cloud storage or cold storage or a tape backup or something like that, where we actually allow users to see their clips and in the proxy state and view them and play them and comment on them, because we have a full commenting capability or tagging for searching later on. All of that stuff you're able to continue to do even if your content is in our archive for $6 a month. So that's a real value add to content creators, because now you're doing things a lot quicker. You're finding your file that you need, and you can just unarchive that one file, as opposed to if you're doing a tape backup or something like that, you've got to completely restore the entire tape in order to see whatever files you wanted. And then it takes, forever to do that.
Well, again, as a reminder to everyone, and you may be thinking, hey, I've got a big hard drive on my computer. I just store everything. Why do you have to offload it? Well, again, we're going to go back to these production files these days are only getting larger and larger as we go from 4K, 6K, 8K, 10K, and well, they'll come
12K. Up to 12K. So yeah. We're testing 12K right now.
ridiculous. I mean, the amount of size for a minute of video is astronomical. Yeah, you touched on something there that is I think one of the key values to the application, and that is, when somebody's doing a shoot like this, if anybody's been in front of a camera and somebody clicked the red button and said, "Go, say the thing," you might have to say it a few times. You might only get through part of it and then have to say more things. And somebody's going to have to edit that together. But before they can do that, somebody has to watch all of that and say, okay, use 3 seconds from here, use 10 seconds from there. Don't use anything between 5 minutes and 12 minutes, but after that is the close. Where does that go? I mean, that may go in a notepad. It may go in, your Apple OneNote or whatever.
The great thing that we did.
Now you've solved for that.
Yeah. So we allow for commenting in our platform, and even more so, we allow for guest commenting as well. So this means that people that aren't even a member of Altion or a subscriber of Altion, so your client, for instance, you're like, hey, I want you to give me all of your comments or all of your notes. And when they're giving them to you, they're in timestamped locations. So it's no longer the, hey, around this time at 1 minute, it's actually at the frame in which they wanted to make that comment. So being able to have a guest commenting on your files is absolutely streamlining the entire process. But also all of those comments come in as markers within the editing application. Mm. So now your editor in real time is receiving all of these markers, and they're showing up on all of the clips that they have. And it's, hey, start this clip at this point and end it at this point, or make sure you don't show this thing, or change the logo here. All of those comments are really rich, and it just streamlines the whole process. So now it's not a email that's being sent and, hey, I'm waiting for that email to come through and it never comes through. And, the time code's all off and I didn't really get it right. So it's very accurate.
That's pretty incredible. Well, let's you touched on security before, but that's security matters to everything. We spent a lot of time here on the program talking about different ways of implementing and managing security. But how do you guys help ensure, aside from ridiculously strong passwords, that this content does remain secure? As you mentioned before, it could be a product video. What if it was the next iPhone? It was the stuff they had shot about that it hadn't been released yet. You certainly don't want the world to have access to it. So,
well, I think that it comes down to even more. You're seeing a lot of homebrewed solutions that production companies were coming up with just out of the necessity of, hey, I've got more and more storage that I'm accumulating. I need a space for that. Or I have 5 editors in my office. How do I share content with those 5 editors? So you're seeing them adopt NAS solutions or server solutions that they're buying on, Amazon or something like that, and they're not securing them appropriately. Mm-hmm. So we had a number of people over the last couple of years come to us and say, hey, my, homebrewed server got hacked and we have ransomware on it, and we have content for really big companies that we work for on there. We need a solution. And just that alone, I would say, putting your files onto a cloud-based service that you're not managing, that certainly helps out. And then there's a lot of people that are smarter than I am within this company when it comes to the sort of encryption level that we're doing and the way that we're doing it from the user to the cloud being encrypted and so on. It's something that we take very seriously. And as we sort of expand out, again, to your point, it could be a product video for something that hasn't been released yet. We don't want that to be, we don't want to be the source of that leak, right? And we're also looking at other methods to potentially stream those files into a computer. So now if you are a brand working with a freelancer or with a remote worker, instead of them ever even having the file locally, it might be streaming to that end system.
Ooh, now we're talking roadmap, which gets exciting. But before we go down that road, again, I love to give context because a lot of the folks who are listening to this tend to not be the deepest on the production side of things, which is fine, of course. But let's help them understand. I mean, I don't know if that many people saw the advertisements that went out adjacent to the latest iPhone release. I guess that's just why it's on my brain. It was a great release. It looked fantastic if you watched the show. But all the stuff with Tim Cook, all of that was shot on an iPhone. So if you saw those headlines that said, hey, the whole new, the latest event was shot on an iPhone, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, so what if there's a problem? Just break out the iPhone, go do it again. While it was an iPhone, I mean, it was a full scale production around there. And those, Matt, you know this better than anyone. Those are not cheap. That shoot was an expensive shoot.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the iPhone certainly has incredible capabilities for shooting right now, but it is important to highlight that they had a full production crew and a full staff and proper lighting and, you know, a $100,000 camera crane, things like that. But what I think is more important to this discussion is the fact that you're now replacing a $50,000 camera mm-hmm. with something that you have in your pocket.
Right.
And that to me is so incredible. And I think that what you will end up seeing in a lot of news gathering and more professional applications is, look, I already have this device in my pocket. Mm-hmm. I can now capture something as it's happening. I don't have to wait for the crew to show up with a big camera and hope that we get the shot. It's, hey, I'm here right now and I've got the shot. And that is really powerful because now you're able to tell this story or you're able to encapsulate this moment that's happening. And I think going back to what you were saying around the iPhone launch, yeah, I mean, it's absolutely incredible to see the fact that they shot everything on an iPhone. It's also incredible how far they're pushing the format. So, you know, introducing log this year, which is a more raw format. Again, if you're not from the production industry, it doesn't have that baked in look, right? It's not overly saturated or undersaturated or, you know, if you use social media, you know, those filters that get applied on your pictures, once you apply that picture and you post it out there, it's out there for good. It's baked in, right? But having this raw format or this log format where it's really raw, you're able to capture a lot more data on set, but you're also able to color it in such a way that you're pulling certain colors out or certain blacks or white levels and things like that that you couldn't do if everything was baked in.
Yeah. And the point I'm really driving towards is two things. The first is because of the capability of the phones that we have in our pockets today, it's only going to accentuate the number of people who are actually shooting content that's going to go and potentially be used in your production, meaning you need to have a better way to ingest that so that it can be used in the editing process. But the other piece is don't negate the fact that if you don't have a solid security or backup solution that's part of your process and your workflow, then it's not just like whipping out an iPhone and refilming. Access to talent, money to do all the things becomes a real challenge, driving, I think, greater need for a tool like what you guys have pulled together.
Hang on one second. Sorry.
No worries. We edit after the fact.
So go back. Let's repeat that question.
Sorry,
I apologize about that.
No problem at all. It really is just around, I was restating the point of more sources of content coming in and needing a solid security and backup capability for production companies, because it's not just about whipping out your iPhone and going and getting content. It really is about a true solution and driving more need towards a company like yours.
And look, I think that as you have more and more people capturing on iPhones or capturing on cameras and having all of these sources for a particular production, it becomes so complex really quickly. Mm-hmm. Where as a content creator that maybe is producing a TV show for a streaming channel, right? You're not part of that network environment that you used to be. So when I grew up through the ranks at NBC Network, I knew that I had an army of people supporting me every day. And we were able to produce nightly news because of the entire team. And it was every single person making all of this effort to put news on the air at 6:30 PM Eastern every day.
Yeah.
But now you're looking at the same requirement without the arsenal and you know, it's, oh, well, you could shoot it on an iPhone, so you should be able to do this just as easily. Well, no, you still need that infrastructure. And that's really where Altion comes in. It's let's give that same infrastructure as if you were a massive broadcaster or as if you were a massive studio to somebody that might be producing content for a streaming channel or for their YouTube channel or something like that. And they don't have that budget. There may be, their whole budget might be $1,000.
Well, and more, you know, you mentioned for streaming or for network, but video is a part of all the stuff that happens, especially inside of businesses, whether it's enterprise or small business, video is required. And this is where a tool like this really comes into play, I think, and that's helping to enable those creators, because oftentimes the creator's job is half their job. They have a day job as part of it in some of these organizations. Well, Matt, I hinted at this earlier. Let's talk roadmap a little without giving away any trade secrets. What are some of the things that we can look for in the future?
It's interesting because I'm trying to figure out what I can and can't say, right?
Yeah.
I always have this blend, but look, I think that I hinted at spatial video. You know, that is something that we're actively looking into right now, especially because Apple released their beta on the iPhone last week, actually. So that's something that we've been really diving into and just seeing, you know, again, I think it's always important for us to be ahead of the curve, always ahead of what might be coming out next. So we're talking to a couple other camera manufacturers right now on potentially what they're producing and how we can interweave our technology within the camera system itself. So those are all really important things that we're looking at. And you know, I think that overall, as a whole, as a company, it's listening to our end client. And I think that that's really what's been driving us the most is when you think about what our clients are now or our users are now asking us, it's really driving our product roadmap because we all have these concepts of, hey, I'm going to build something and hope for the best or hope that people want to use my product. And we've built a really solid foundational layer just based on my experience in the production industry or other people within the company's experience within the production industry and applying that knowledge or that resource requirement that we had. Now, as we really look into it, it's a really great feeling to be able to go out there and listen to our end user and really kind of take in the various requirements that they have and how they would shift things or what they would specifically want. And that's what's been really exciting for us to just witness that. And the fact that people are asking more is always a good problem.
Means they're using the product and they have use cases for it in the future. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me today here. Really fascinating product. I'm actually about to send the link over to our team. I think it's something that could be a great benefit for the work that we're up to over here as well.
No, I appreciate the time. And look, I think that, you know, it's just been such a pleasure to talk because we are also seeing other applications being used within the system. So I would really stress that it's not just for the production industry.
Right.
And we're seeing these really foreign concepts of people that are coming to us saying, hey, you know, we're in the scientific community, but we have a ton of video footage of an experiment. Or, hey, we're in a engineering facility where we're capturing data to audit a machine. How do we store that? And we're starting to see different people come to our platform that aren't just specific to the video industry, but they had a need for a product that could solve for what they were doing and how they were pushing things. And that's been really exciting for us.
This has been Cloud Talk. You can find Cloud Talk wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And be sure to check out more content from Rackspace Solve at solve.rackspace.com.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I love talking technology. I love talking video and production. And I got to do both all in one shot. Well, if you are not already following us live on Cloud Talk Live every Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, I'd love to invite you to be a part of that conversation. Just find us on LinkedIn. Either follow me on LinkedIn, follow Rackspace on LinkedIn, and you'll get notified anytime that we go live. So check us out. Don't just come and watch or listen. Come and comment and be a part of the conversation. And folks, if you enjoyed this episode today, I'd love for you to go back, maybe give us one of those 5-star reviews. They really do mean a lot. And consider it a personal favor, in the words of Cosmo Kramer. All right, folks, have a great rest of your day. I've got more episodes recorded and in the can. I've just got to edit them and get them out to you. So make sure that you're subscribed. And until next time, my name is Jeff DeVerter, the host here at Cloud Talk for Rackspace Technology.